Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Fairway Markets. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchens of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking Lucy's Way and food films with Joe York. Callers, listeners, actually, just a reminder, we have a live call-in number. Our number is 718-497-2128. I feel like we have a contest, but I forgot, Jack. So, listeners, if you call in...
listeners call in, we'll actually give them some tickets to the New York City Food Film Festival events.
Oh, so, wow. Yes. So if you're listening live, forgot to tweet and put it on Facebook. But if you're listening live, give us a call. Free tickets to the New York City Food and Film Festival. So in the studio today, we have Amy Thompson and Lucy Kazikas of Lucy's Way. And we're going to be talking cheese, oh glorious cheese. Welcome to Hot Grease, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
So I have a question of what's your earliest memories of cheese? Lucy and Amy, what do you remember about cheese?
Well, I was talking to Amy earlier about that, and my earliest memory is my mother serving hors d'oeuvres of cut pieces of celery that were stuffed with blue cheese. Ah. And that is kind of the beginning of, you know, my memory of eating cheese.
So were you inspired by that early memory of cheese to open Lucy's Way?
I wish I could say that was it, but no. But it inspired my love of food.
So what about you, Amy? Did you have a huge interest in cheese growing up, or how did you transition to being a cheesemonger?
I've always been a cheese lover. Not always been a cheesemonger. I remember eating cream cheese with red pepper jelly with Triscuits. At my grandma's house.
No American cheese, huh? Was this all processed?
Well, there were American cheese, but this was cream cheese with hot jelly.
Oh, wow.
It was the hors d'oeuvre, and I would eat dinner's worth.
Wow. So, I read something recently. You guys have two locations.
We
Lucy's,
do.
Lucy's Way. One is here in New York City, and the other one is where, Lucy?
In East Hampton, New York. That's where we originated.
Oh, okay.
That's where we started.
And you've been around for quite some time.
Well, I'm glad you think that way.
Yeah.
We're in our third year, so I still think we're pretty young. In Chelsea Market, we just opened in November.
I don't know why I thought I saw something that you've been open since 97.
Oh, my goodness, no.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you guys are in East Hampton as well as the Chelsea Market, and all American cheeses, correct?
Yes.
So what is so special about American cheeses? The whole renaissance with folks looking at small farmers and local farmers and American cheeses.
I think the connection is people are looking to find out where their food comes from and have a connection with how food is made and looking for quality products, something that's sustainable and maybe seasonal and unique to where it's from and made by an artisan, something that's handcrafted and unique and delicious.
I was going to say it's also that they're making fabulous cheeses, and these are fresh cheeses. They haven't been warehoused, they haven't been shipped overseas. It's kind of like the California wine industry was maybe 15 or 20 years ago.
Totally.
What's happening in the cheese industry here in this country.
Speaking of local and renaissance, so many cool things are going on at Chelsea Market. You guys are neighbors with what, People's Pop? Who else is down there now?
Oh yeah, we have great neighbors.
We do.
There's so much good food in Chelsea Market now, and we're happy to be part of the community. I really, you know, cheesemongering in a market, we know the butchers at Dixon's, we know the baristas. We're caffeinated nonstop from 9th Street Espresso.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. Cool beans.
Oh yeah. And
Jacques Therese chocolate.
Oh yeah, chocolate. Oh man, they have ice cream sandwiches with their chocolate chip cookies.
Oh my gosh.
And then People's Pops for a refreshing treat, and the Lobster Place for sushi.
One Lucky Duck also right next to us, which is great. And we have one more person that's coming in, but we can't say who it is yet.
So not only are you guys selling cheeses for dinner parties, but you also do grilled cheese sandwiches. And I follow you guys on Twitter, so I see the grilled cheese, the sandwich specials every day. Please tell our listeners who are just, you know, working in Chelsea Market area or want to come down for lunch, what kind of specials and sandwiches you guys?
Well, lunch is a big deal at Chelsea Market. We had customer request that we tweet our sandwiches. We have different panini options every day. We have a big panini grill, so we're grilling cheese sandwiches all day long. And people want to know what the lunch option is before they venture out. So we have a classic we do every week, which is, or every day of every week, Prairie Breeze Cheddar, which is a sweet and sharp cheddar from Iowa. And
which you put with fig confit, right?
Yeah.
So you have a wonderful...
It's like a fig jam, so it's a savory sweet sandwich. Mm-hmm. Totally awesome on the grill. And then we have a sandwich that has meat and cheese, usually ham from the butcher shop Dixon's or La Quercia Prosciutto, from also from Iowa. And we mix it up. Sometimes it has roast tomatoes. Sometimes it has pickles and mustard.
So, Lucy, do you spend most of your time here in the city or...
No, I'm a resident of the East Hampton.
Ah, okay.
So I'm out there full time, but I try and get in here once a week. Luckily for me, Amy and her team are completely in control of Chelsea Market, so I don't have to worry. But I actually like to come in because every time I've come in, there's been a couple of chefs walking in from different restaurants or food bloggers or... So it's really fun. It's a fun place to be.
We love the food bloggers. Yes. So you're the main cheesemonger, Amy, at the Chelsea Market location. And Lucy, are there other cheesemongers at East Hampton?
Well, I have two other full-time people that work for me during the season. And then in the fall and in the winter, we kind of come down to me and one or two part-timers.
So as I was researching for the show, I saw for the first time that they're doing a cheesemonger invitational. What the hell does that mean? I'm like, what is that?
I don't know. It sounds crazy to me.
What is that? And more so the question I have, what is a typical training for a person to become a cheesemonger?
Well, that's the thing. It's such a specialized skill. The only way to learn is to do it. And I remember my first cheese job was at Murray's, where there's hundreds and hundreds of cheeses on the counter. And hundreds of customers wanting attention. And it was tough. There was a lot to learn really fast, and but it's so fun. And so you just have to jump in there and be ready to learn new things and work hard and pay attention.
So are you either one of you guys participating in the Cheesemonger Invitational?
We are not, but... We're gonna be there.
We haven't
decided who we're rooting for yet.
Isn't it like next Sunday? It's a million things going on.
I know. It's this coming Saturday, at Larkin Cold Storage in Long Island City. I think a shout out to Anne's show, Cutting the Curd. Yeah, they talked all about the Cheesemongers Invitational last weekend. And it's going to be great. I think they scheduled it the day before the fancy food show starts because so many cheese people are in town from all over the country. So it's really cool to see community among cheese makers, cheese mongers, and cheese enthusiasts and distributors and people from all over. There are lots of people, I think, even from England and Europe that are going to be in town.
So now you have me excited. I'm actually going to the Fancy Food Show next Tuesday, so I have to be on the hunt for, like, the best American cheeses and like taking notes and sending you guys emails about, hey, I saw this, what does this mean?
Oh, yeah, report back. We'll be there too, but we're also going to be at the Unfancy Food Show.
Oh yeah, at the Bell House on Sunday. So you guys, are you going to be doing paninis there or?
Well, we thought it might be too hot on a Sunday afternoon for paninis, but I hope we're doing sandwiches with Prairie Breeze cheddar. Ooh. From Iowa, with La Quercha, also from Iowa, spec. Just little sandwiches.
It's cool. Kind of one of the, that reminds me of what's fun about this whole business is we were introduced to the Prairie Breeze cheddar, mm-hmm. by the maker of the La Quercha prosciutto, who, mm-hmm. it's actually an Amish family who's a neighbor of,
wow.
his. And they've been making this cheese, but never distributing it beyond kind of their community. And he told us about it, and they're now distributing, I think, nationwide.
Are you guys the only cheese shop in New York with his cheese?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think we're the only one in Manhattan. I think we can claim that.
All right. So yeah. People, get yeah. there. So you get guys there. Are going to stick around. We're going to take a short break, but you're going to stick around to the last segment, and we're going to talk, do the hot five, my special hot five, all about cheese and movie nights. So we are going to take a short break. Stay with us, listeners, and we'll be back with more on Hot Grease. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. Our second guest today is Mr. Joe York. Joe is best known for his work at the Southern Foodway Alliance. Joe, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Joe, I have been a huge fan of you, of your work for quite some time, so I am just like cheesing over here, hot, no pun intended. We have some cheesemongers on the show. So my first question for you is, what are some of the traits of a Southerner? I know that's a funny question. We have all types of people that are listening to the show, but just clue us in, because all of your work is typically around Southern food culture or Southern culture in general.
Wow, that's not a softball to start out with. But it may sound like a kind of a cop out answer, but a Southerner is anybody that kind of identifies themselves as such. You know, people that grew up, you know, down in this southeastern part of the country. Generally speaking, we're everybody is, kind of thinks of us for our hospitality and kind of easygoing nature. I mean, it's like 190 degrees down here right now, so you can see kind of maybe why that is. You know, we move a little slow when it's like this, and we like to have people over and give them some good food and something good to drink and sit down and just kind of take things slow if we can.
I guess the reason why I asked the question, because I think most people, I'm from the South, I live here in New York, and the first thing people always, they equate the South and good food. And so I knew you would say something about food, and that's why I asked you that question. You have some great films, and I really, last summer I did a small movie night at my house, and I basically showed all of your films, plus one by a colleague of yours, and we saw Marceau, we saw The Rise of Southern Cheese. Can you just highlight some of your films and let our listeners know what you're doing in terms of work? And also, too, you did a great film with White Oak Pastures, one of our sponsors here at Heritage Radio Network.
Oh, great. I didn't know that they were one of y'all's sponsors. But, you know, that White Oak Pastures, what a great story. You know, and Will Harris, who runs the farm down there, is such a kind of a great example of exactly the kind of work that we do. You know, I work with the Southern Foodways Alliance. I actually work at the University of Mississippi's Media and Documentary Project Center, but we partner with the Southern Foodways Alliance. And the SFA, their kind of goal is to document and celebrate the diverse food cultures of the American South. And so what I do is I make short documentaries for the most part, generally 15 to 20 minutes long, and we try to focus on, you know, the diversity of not only the food cultures in the South, but use that food lens as a way to talk about how diverse the South is as a whole. You know, I think folks outside the South, it's easy to kind of see a one-dimensional South if you look at it. And what we see is endless variety. And when we look at the foodways of our region, we see that. We see the diversity within our region, and we just try to celebrate that and document it, and we try to get people excited about it. Because I think, you know, there's a tendency sometimes through America towards a kind of a monoculture, the kind of things that you see on interstate exits. You know, you can pull off the road in the middle of Nebraska or the middle of Georgia, and you may very well be, you know, kind of in front of a lot of the same places that you would stop, you know, either place. And what we want people to do is to kind of think at least about the South in terms of eating local, thinking local, and kind of celebrating all of the diverse foodways that come out of these localities. And that's what we try to do with our films. And we've done films that range from Marsall, like you were talking about, which is about a bartender who tended bar in the French Quarter in New Orleans for over 60 years, to a seed saver like Bill Best from Kentucky, who is growing beans and tomatoes from seeds that have been in his family for hundreds of years. So we really try to, you know, tell a wide range of stories, and in so doing, you know, try to do justice to just how remarkably kind of varied, you know, the different ways of life are down here.
So. There are so many food film festivals that are popping up all over the country. Some of our listeners may know that the New York City Food and Film Festival starts on the 23rd through the 27th, and you have two movies or documentaries in the film festivals. What are some other festivals you've participated, your work has been in the past several years?
Well, the very first festival that we were ever in was the Slow Food on Film Festival, which was over in Bra, Italy, and that really was an eye-opener for us. You know, the fact that there was an audience for these films, that people were interested in these kinds of stories. And since then, you know, we have made something like 23 or 24 short films, and we've showed them at a range of different festivals. We just recently, Cud, for example, which is the film about Will Harris and White Oak Pastures, it played here in Mississippi. It played at the Going Green Film Festival in Los Angeles, and then it played at a festival in New Zealand.
Oh, wow!
Which was kind of focused on, kind of slow food or sustainable food, local food, those kinds of things. And so, we've really been able to share these things with a lot of folks. But I think what, you know, people like George Motes and Harry Hawks are doing with the New York Food and Film Festival is just amazing. It's unique. It's one of a kind in the sense that you get to watch the films and then you get to eat the food that's in the films. And that to me is, I mean, I'm a big fan of Les Blank, who is a documentary filmmaker from out in California, but he's done a lot of work here in the South with, and especially in Louisiana. So his films like Yum, 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 for example, or Garlic is as Good as 10 Mothers, you watch those, and then you immediately want to jump up and go eat whatever it is that you know, but often we can't do that. If you go to the New York Food and Film Festival, you can do that. And that's why we've had a good relationship with them for a number of years, and just think what they're doing is amazing, and really happy to have two more films with them this year.
Well, Joe, I don't know if they're going to have a pig ear sandwich at the Food and Film Festival.
They are.
Really? That'll be interesting. I wonder who's making that.
They're bringing them up from Mississippi. They're bringing Gino Lee from the Big Apple Inn, which is featured in the
film. Oh, really?
They're bringing him there, and he is cooking those sandwiches.
So, yeah, give our listeners a sneak peek peek of that film, Smoking Ears. I've seen it like 3 or 4 times, but just briefly get people excited about that film.
Well, Smokes and Ears, it's about the Big Apple Inn, which is a little sandwich shop on Ferris Street in Jackson, Mississippi, and they make pig ear sandwiches. Like that's it. They cook pig ears in a pressure cooker. They put them on like a crystal-sized bun with slaw, hot sauce, and mustard, and people eat them up. They love them. And it's a great example of what we like to do with the Southern Foodways Alliance, which is we like to highlight those things that when people think of a place, they think, I couldn't go to this place or live in this place without this food, without this taste. And, you know, the smokes and ears, the ears, obviously, are the pig ear sandwiches, and then they have a smoked sausage sandwich that they cook, and that's what's known as the smoke, so that accounts for the title. But the film itself, we talk about those sandwiches, but then it allows us a chance to talk about the history of Ferris Street, which was really the heart of the African-American community in Jackson forever and ever. It's fallen on hard times now, but they're trying to kind of bring it back to life. But, I mean, you had people like Cab Calloway would come and play there. B.B. King would come and play there. Medgar Evers, you know, who was so much a part of the civil rights movement in Mississippi, he had his office upstairs from the Big Apple Inn and would hold meetings, you know, down in the restaurant, getting people organized to go out and to try to make a difference there in Jackson. And so we start by talking about the food, but then we end up being able to tell a much larger story about how a place like the Big Apple and how a little sandwich like the smoke or the ear really has a connection to the history and the culture of a place. And so it allows you to tell a much larger story about a place than you might think, you know, initially. But Gino Lee is a fantastic individual. He's the owner and operator there of the Big Apple Inn. And he will, like I said, he'll be in New York Friday night cooking pig ear sandwiches.
So. Cool beans. I will have to definitely, I was not going to go on Friday night, but maybe I'll go. I want to check him out. Very briefly, we have probably about 30 seconds. There's an article in Atlantic Magazine about your new project, Southern Food, the Movie. If you could just tell our listeners very briefly about that project and when we could possibly check it out.
Well, Southern Food, the Movie, it's our latest kind of endeavor. It's really to create like a visual census of Southern food. You know, it's 2010 and the federal government is out counting all of us and trying to figure out what we look like as a population, and we're trying to do the same thing with Southern food. So we're going to every Southern state this year, and we're going to be doing about 5 short segments in each one, and then we're going to kind of weave those segments together into what we hope will be you know, a pretty accurate portrayal of Southern foodways as of 2010, and we're going to see what those segments and what those dishes and what people are doing with the food today, what that tells us about kind of who we are as a region. And we're going to be working on that all year, and we're going to try to finish it up next summer and get it ready to go out in late summer, early fall of 2011. So we're working hard, and we're really excited about it, and you know, just going to keep on working and see what we can see. It's a big old South out there.
It really is. Well, Joe, I'm going to have to come and check you out in Ole Miss. I am from Athens, so I know about the whole Ole Miss Bulldog rivalry.
Oh, you're a Bulldog fan, huh?
No, not really, but I know about the rivalry. Born and raised there. But thank you for coming on Hot Grease. We look forward to checking out your films at the New York City Food and Film Festival, and we should be in touch.
Well, thank you so, so much to give me a chance to talk about this. Really enjoyed it.
Okay, have a good week, Joe.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Listeners, keep checking, listening here on Hot Grease. We're going to come back with the Hot Five. Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is being sponsored by Fairway Markets. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. One of my favorite segments on Hot Grease is the Hot Five. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorites. We have Lucy and Amy of Lucy Way still in the studio. So I thought it would be really cool. People are always having dinner parties and people are having movie nights. So giving our listeners the five suggestions / tips for hosting a cheese-centric movie night. What do we need?
Well, this was very hard for us.
Oh, really?
Yes, we were debating it all the way in the car because everything we have in our stores we love so much. We couldn't, it was hard to pick.
Well, that's,
we
know all the things will be great then.
They'll be great. And we were talking about, you know, do you really eat cheese watching a movie or do you take an intermission and discuss the cheese that you ate?
Good point.
Yeah. So Amy picked out a couple of delicious things.
So number five on the list.
Oh, number five on the list. Just got at number five because it comes after the other four.
It's just the dessert. That's fine. No order. Oh, yeah.
The dessert on the list. We love the Little Bit Sweets caramels. They're made here in Brooklyn, and we sell them in our store at Chelsea Market, and we can't.
What's
we
the
can't
name?
Buy enough
oh,
caramels.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Little Bit. Little Bit.
Yeah.
Famous from The Flea.
Yeah. I wonder have they been on any of the shows on the network. I'm sure they have. Yeah, they have great. The beer pretzels are great there.
The beer pretzel caramel and the ricotta and fig caramel.
Ooh.
And then the classic sea salt caramel. We've got them.
They are so good.
Yes,
so
good.
Number five. Number four on Lucy's Way. Hot five.
I don't know. I think maybe the Grayson.
Yes.
The Grayson is a fabulous wash-drying cheese from Virginia.
Mm.
From Galax, Virginia. I actually went down there and visited the farm down there, watched them make it. It's a wonderful, creamy, kind of Taleggio style.
Ooh, wow.
Mild, but stinky, but mild cheese. That's great.
So people should have what? A soft, a hard? How many different cheeses should a person have at a movie centric?
I think it depends on how many people you're serving.
Okay.
I mean, I think 2 to 3 to 4 cheeses is a good number. You know, like if you have 6 or 8 or 10, everyone just gets overwhelmed and confused.
Okay.
I think it's better to just keep it around 3 or 4.
So we'll make sure we put the Grayson, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
On the list, number four. Absolutely. So number three on the Hot Five, cheese countdown.
Well, we didn't do all cheeses.
It's okay. Cheese-centric.
We were thinking, well, you want 1 or 2 cheeses, but then you want other things to go with the cheese.
The chocolate is perfect with the cheese, totally.
Oh, yeah. No, the caramels.
Caramels, sorry.
So number three would be the La Quercia, prosciutto or speck.
Ooh.
Yeah. So there you go. You can make an open-faced panini, or you can just put it in your mouth right after the cheese. Alternate. They're so good. So this is prosciutto that's made in Iowa from pigs raised in Iowa.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we can find that at both locations, East Hampton and Chelsea Market?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool.
Yep, one of our big sellers.
Okay. Number two on the list.
We're kind of going in just the order of a cheese plate here in a way. So I don't know. I think the Capriole. Right,
yeah.
Which is a delicious goat cheese.
We love all the goat cheeses from Capriole, which is in southern Indiana, or also known as Kentuckiana.
Oh, really? Yeah. Why? Well, is Kentucky at the bottom of Indiana?
Kentucky's at the bottom of Indiana.
Yep. I missed that in class.
Kentuckiana.
Huh?
Judy Shad, the cheesemaker, makes lots of different types of goat cheese. We have maybe 5 of them at our store. So creamy and pungent, like the Mont Saint Francis, and then fresh, like the Piper's Pyramid with a little bit of a bloomy rind. And what else? Oh, the herbs on the outside of the Juliana. So we've got quite the lineup from Capriol at our store.
And rounding out our Hot Five, hosting a cheese-centric movie night from Lucy's Way, number one on the list. No order, which is number one.
Right. Well, actually, I'm thinking about it, and it would really, I think we'd have to do two things there. Because to round out all these flavors, you need some crackers.
Okay.
And there's a wonderful cracker from Vermont called Rutland Rye.
Mmm.
Made by Castleton Crackers, and it's fabulous tasting. It's got a lot of flavor, very, very thin. It's actually, I don't know if you know this, but the word cracker comes from when a gentleman back in the 1800s decided to make a very thin bread, flatbread
mm-hmm.
type of, well, he didn't call them a cracker yet, because he called them a cracker once he cracked the flatbread.
Did not know this.
That's why they're called crackers. So these are hand cracked, and they're in all different shapes and sizes, and they're great. And then I think you have to have a fig jam or a delicious. We were thinking maybe the from Girl in the Fig, right?
Oh yeah, we have a fig jam and then a fig compote, and then a mostarda. From the Girl in the Fig, which is a restaurant in Sonoma. I know it's all the way out there in California, but...
But it's good food. It's good from food. Someone, we know the person.
Yeah, we know
it's
them.
Traceable.
And their figs, the figs are not grown on the East Coast, so California figs are pretty good.
We can't do every single thing hyper-local. So, I think we have a caller on the line. Caller, your name,
Hi.
Please.
I'm Marcel.
Congratulations, Marcel. You've just won two tickets to the New York City Food Film Festival.
Yay!
Congratulations. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Cool beans. Hold the line, and Jack Inslee, our producer, will get your information.
Sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, the Hot Five countdown with Lucy Way. I love it. It's perfect. People love the Hot Five. People will listen. Make sure you take notes. Go to East Hampton location. Can you give us your website? And I know you guys are on Twitter and Facebook.
Yep. So we're on Twitter, and we are at Lucy's Way. LucysWhey. And the same goes for our website. We're www.lucysway.com. And then also our blog is just the same, www.lucysway.com/blog.
So, and Chelsea Market is open every day. East Hampton is open every day. What are the hours?
In Chelsea Market, we are open from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And on Sunday, we are open from 10 to 7.
And in East Hampton, it is now Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6. And Sunday from 9 to 4.
So all of our listeners, we have tons of listeners on the West Coast. And all over the country. Chelsea Market is a huge tourist spot. So come check us out. If you're in the Hamptons this summer, check out Lucy's Way.
Absolutely. Come on by.
Lucy, Amy, thank you for coming on Hot Grease. It's been a pleasure.
So much fun. Thanks for having us.
Great. No problem. Listeners, thank you again for tuning in to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.